Welcome to another episode of the Real World Assets Show. Join us on our journey to tokenize the world. Let's roll. Welcome back to another episode of the Real World Assets Show. Today we have Bill Lee from Dualmint. He's the CTO and co-founder. And Dualmint's driving the ownership economy. They're redefining how brands connect with their loyal fans and quite a few incentives and appreciations, how they can earn tangible rewards. And Bill, welcome to the show. I know we have a lot of things to talk about. You're working with several exciting brands, but wanted to first just say, hey, welcome, and we'll get into it.
Thanks, Travis. It's really great to be here on your show. We met each other in Austin, and it was pretty exciting to actually find people with the same type of passion, you know, real assets. Even though it's such a narrative during this cycle, it's actually not very easy to find people echoing your thoughts and your beliefs.
Thank you. And the feeling is mutual. And I hear that a lot. And I say that a lot. It's surprising. Like you said, it's, you know, you see these charts and stats or things on Twitter, like, hey, you know, RWAs are second to meme coins in the sense of narratives and interest and demand. But in the real, like, you know, again, just the pun intended, the real world aspect of it and the real world adoption of it is still a lot of us in the trenches and really sorting through a lot of the noise. So I agree. It was great to meet you at Consensus in Austin and one of your partners as well. And, you know, I know we spent like about a day trying to kind of connect, and I was really thankful that we were able to have a sit down meeting and chat more. So
yeah.
So thanks for coming. I know you've shared quite a bit of things over some discussions we've had offline, but let's talk a little bit about how you got into this. Well, you know, even before Dualmint, like, what, I know that you're the CTO, you're coming at this from a technical aspect and also like an entrepreneur, but I'd love to know more.
Yeah. You know, as you can tell, you know, with all my gray hair, I'm, you know, a Gen X. So I'm quite a bit, you know, older than the people who are doing this stuff right now. I do have a technology background. I studied computer science, and then I have a pretty much a full career in different, you know, tech companies, large and small, startups. I used to live in the US, so I've worked in many companies in Silicon Valley, or actually back in the East Coast in the field offices. So I have a tech background. And then for a couple of years, I moved back to Hong Kong. I was transferred back by one of the tech company. At the time, it was an enterprise search company that eventually got bought out by Microsoft. And then I took a few years off from tech and actually helped my family because my dad's health wasn't doing too well. So I was doing the bra business. Our family is in the bra business. So I went from one type of software to the other kind of software. And now I'm back into, you know, the original type of software that I'm doing. So, I mean, to kind of this, you know, so at the time I was doing a startup in data privacy. And I had a customer at the time, which was a legal document framework solution company, similar to what DocuSign is at the time. Yeah. So one day we're kind of like having a beer, you know, and chit-chatting. And that was really during the first craze of the whole NFT boom, right? So people were paying like, you know, I don't know, $2 million for a JPEG. So, you know, we're looking at each other. We're, you know, I'm a bit older. He's not young either. Like, do you understand this, you know, NFT thing? You know, I mean, why are people like paying so much for these, like, you know, pixelated, you know, pictures? I have no idea, right? We look at each other. It's like, no, we don't understand. But, you know, maybe we can use it for something else. Because, I mean, when we looked at the technology, it's actually kind of interesting. It's great for, obviously, it's blockchain, you know, the whole distributed architecture and all that stuff. But it's really great for proving ownership and proving a scarcity, for example. So we thought, hey, you know, you have a tech, you have a legal document management framework. Why don't we see if we can leverage the legal side of things and sort of do something together? So that's kind of how it all got started. Like, at, you know, obviously many businesses start at a bar with a few drinks, right? And the back of a napkin. So that was about two and a half years ago. And then we sat down and said, you know, hey, you know, if we look at the legal side of things, maybe we can sort of apply this thing, marry it together, and work with like real world assets. That was actually what we're actually talking about. Like, how do we, you know, tie that into actual real world assets? So originally, we saw very early on that the problem with NFT, well, it's great for digital assets, right? But if you want to translate that into the real world, the first thing that is a limitation is that there's no fallback into the real world. If something hits a fan, you know, you have nothing to protect you in the real world. Like, all that stuff is great, you know, it's on the blockchain, but what are you going to do if, you know, if somebody scams you or run away with your money, which actually it did happen from the crash, right? So we decided to sort of frame this thing, you know, how to leverage the legal framework, document management framework to do this. That's why we sort of named the project Dual Mint. We kind of, you know, sat down and decided if we wanted to apply both provenance on the on-chain with the provenance off-chain, what is a good name? You know, Dual Mint. You know, you mint, but it's, you know, applying to both a real world as well as on-chain, right? Yeah. So we came up with Dual Mint, and then we came up with this whole idea of the dual provenance, which is essentially the core of what we're trying to build, right? So dual provenance is an idea where we can have two-way linkage between an online provenance with a real-world provenance. And the real-world provenance can be, you know, it can be simple like a GIS certificate, because, you know, for a diamond. Or it could be as complex as, you know, any legal, you know, contracts that you work with the underlying parties, right? So with the what we call ecosystem partner in place, you know, we have a way to basically import, you know, legal documents or what have you, and have a workflow to include all the stakeholders that might be interested in shaping this real world provenance, what it should look like. And at the end, we can basically digital sign it, and then, you know, using it as the metadata on chain, taking the metadata, taking the actual hash and putting it back into the actual provenance, right? So now you have a two-way linkage. So that was like sort of the first step. So, but we thought, hey, you know, but then the problem is, if we're looking at real world asset, it's not just about taking a picture of it and putting it on some glorified, what we call distributed marketplace, right? Because that's not really, to me at least, it's not really supporting real world assets, because there are a lot of different things that real world assets needs touch points to be supported on, right? Like, for example, like, it might need logistics, it might need authentication, anti counterfeiting, you know, it may be even insurance, appraisers, what have you, anything, right? So the second thing we looked at is how do we address this, you know, being a startup, right? Obviously, we have limited resources, like, you know, don't want to spend too much of our own nest egg into this thing, right? So we thought of, hey, instead of building it ourselves, you know, since we already have, using this ecosystem framework, we might as well recruit other ecosystem partners. So we went out and looked for a few more partners, right? So we found a logistics partner. We found a lifestyle and entertainment investment partner. And we found an anti-counterfeiting solution partner that is actually a very interesting story in itself, because it's a passport-grade anti-counterfeiting solution that is being used in many passports around the world. It's based on holographic. Well, I can't really do it justice, because, I mean, it's a passport-grade holographic and the counterfeiting solution. So with that, we basically have the first ecosystem partnership that we can sort of, you know, really put in place and support a very amount of real world asset out there, because we have logistics, we have anti counterfeiting, we have legal, right? Obviously, we're continuing to want to you know, recruit other ecosystem partners. So if any listeners out there who are, you know, have solutions and want to join our ecosystem, feel free to contact us, and we're very happy to speak to you guys. So that's essentially a very quick, you know, few minutes overview of how we sort of got started here in the RWA space.
I love that. I mean, I think, well, first off, I just to the end of what you mentioned, I mean, partnerships in RWA is critical. I mean, and I believe that in any business, I mean, it just, it's not my first rodeo either. So businesses I've been involved with, it's been very clear that partnerships, tight relationships are key. But also in RWA, as you know, this is one of the, this is a very unique time and a very unique place. And I think to our point at the beginning about how it's nice to find people that are passionate about this and are building, it's also one of the most giving and most, you know, just non-competitive type of spaces, because even if people are building similar things or they're involved in some similar things or there's some overlap, everyone seems to have a very giving first type mentality, yeah, which is great. So I love that. And I will say, you know, and I think that that was a perfect origin story of understanding where you were, you know, where you're going, how you, you know, we'll get into what accomplishments you've had and even some of the pivots. And I, and that's what one of the nice things is you're building is you kind of learn these things as we're early in this, this adoption phase. And, you know, there's pivots that will happen. But I will say just one funny aside, you went from the bra business to the back of a napkin to blockchain.
Everybody finds,
Yeah, yeah. I love that. And also, like, I have to at least call out that, you know, there's two holes in a bra. So dual, like, it's a dual mint. So, you know, I guess, I don't know, like, you might still be able to bring that into an RWA ownership profile and rewards at some point. So who knows? But, you know, you never know how these backgrounds we have turn into other things. But anyway, I'm digressing, but I, you know, I like to to call that out. But let's talk a little bit about, like, some of the projects. And we've talked quite a bit about some of the brands that you're working with, some of the projects. I know some you're not able to kind of get into full details about, but let's really talk about some of the specific things you're doing at Dual Mint now. I know, you know, with the technology, you're calling these real world asset tokens, and you have several brands and stages you're working with them. But I'll kind of give the floor to you to which direction you want to go first with that. But I know that I'm super excited about all the brands that you've talked to me about.
Yeah, I think, you know, I maybe touch base on a little bit of the on the pivot side that you mentioned. You know, originally we started and we wanted to focus on just collectibles, right? So, you know, like art, like, you know, like maybe a bottle of whiskey, you know, rare whiskey, maybe rare watches, you know, things like that, antiques, and something that is very easy to understand. Now, we started doing that, and that's kind of interesting. But then we also started brainstorming. Obviously, you know, we wanted to expand the horizon, like, because with the framework, we can basically apply with a lot of stuff. So we see ourselves not like a product specific platform. We want we aspire to be sort of the blueprint for people to actually bring on board web, you know, real world assets onto Web3, right? So we want to not only work with the physical collectibles. So what now we're seeing ourselves as a real world asset tokenization platform that supports both tangible and intangible products. So tangible product is easy to understand. It's kind of like, you know, the stuff I just kind of mentioned. Intangible could be like things like IP rights. It could be like future earnings. It could be, you know, project financing. And then it becomes a lot more interesting because you can actually structure many different things very differently, because it's not just a piece of product that you put on top, right? It could be like a membership. It could be, you know, a lot of different things. So we find that it's becoming, you know, more of what we are as a project focusing on. And you mentioned actually a bunch of, so we have like actually now dabbling into like many different areas. We are doing a lot of projects in the ESG related areas. So, you know, we're working with different local governments around the world, obviously smaller countries with which we have, you know, connections to do things like, so, you know, tokenizing solar panels, tokenizing. One interesting project is actually on our site. It's called EcoWash, where a company is trying to, they're actually doing it. They're replacing all the energy inefficient washing machines around universities. You know, when you go to school, you have to wash your clothes, and then, you know, usually, you know, you have to put in quarters or in the US, and then you do a 45 minute wash and 45 minute drying. But a lot of these machines are outdated. They're not energy efficient. So this company is going around and and replacing these. And then they want to tokenize them so that, you know, they can, the token holders actually earn a good portion of the return that is generated by these washing machines. So it has, so the washing machine is obviously energy efficient. It actually has a self dispenser for the detergent. So you don't, you know, the students don't need to carry around these plastic bottles and throw it away. So it's very like eco-friendly. So we have a bunch, we're working with like, so this is a very interesting project. You know, it's guaranteed 25% yield a year. And you know, you're doing something good. We want to kind of work on a project that has a lot of like interesting stories behind it. Plus, you know, yield generating. So you're kind of like buying into this or into this community, not buying, but you're part of a community where you want to, you know, contribute to, you know, green energy or whatever it is, like something meaningful, but you also get some return on the things that you're working on. There are actually a bunch of other projects that are, you know, very different and interesting. So this is kind of like, I gave you some examples on ESG related projects. We also working with an immersive opportunity in the Southeast, one of the South, where we will be bringing in an immersive experience for the whole country with this artist called Gustav Klimt. And we are putting out a product called Advertise and Earn, where, you know, we can, the advertisers essentially earn a return for advertising plus free tickets for the duration of the show. So it's kind of like project financing type structure that we're doing. Another one that is really interesting, you know, US bound, is we're working with a Napa Valley cult wine that has already, like, you know, it's a very young brand that I think just formed, I think the 10 years ago, and it's now, it has already won a lot of awards. They are selected to be one of the 8 pours in Davos next January. So, you know, it's very high profile. Elon Musk is doing something with them as well. So they're using our technology, the anti-counterfeiting technology plus our blockchain, to solve a whole bunch of, you know, address a whole bunch of things in I can't really be going into too much details because it hasn't been released, but it's going to be very exciting once it does. And this solution is going to, they will be presenting this in Davos to, you know, a lot of the leaders over there. So, you know, that's just a very high level overview of some of the projects that we're involved with, because with our framework, we're actually attracting a lot of these interesting projects around. Yep. Plus, you know, yep, the founders actually have pretty good like network of businesses. So that's how we can also source some of these interesting projects as well.
Yeah, I think to your point, the type of people that you're going to attract too typically are a forward thinking, open to do, you know, like you're right, not going to always attract a winery. Although I've seen really, really strong blockchain use with just more the transparency of wine production, for example, like the QR code type of idea on blockchains.
Yep.
But you'll find, you know, you won't find, you know, maybe wineries have been around for 100 years as interested always in immediately going to blockchain. You might, but I mean, it's nice to, you know, cult-like newer brands that are open to this and adopting early is great. I mean, because it aligns really well with your ethos as well. And, you know, I think to your point, it's the, where this is going is just the ownership economy, as you guys label so well, mm-hmm, on the beginning of the site, this really is the future. It's, you know, in Web 2, we had points and reward systems and apps that, you know, like you get a few points here and there. And, you know, it's argued that 90% of people don't take advantage of their rewards. But yeah, I'm completely on board with Web 3 is a complete game changer when it comes to incentives. Aligned incentives, yeah, whether it's tokens, whether it's, you know, ownership, whether it's specific rewards, they're significantly more aligned. Because as you mentioned, not only the way you're aligning with projects based on your ethos and based on, you know, exciting opportunities and kind of like the public good aspect of some of these, is, mm-hmm, that's how investors, you know, the average investor in the future, not, you know, not a credit investor type of idea necessarily, but regular investors that are looking to align with their you know, with what they want, they want to see in the world. You know, they want an energy efficient world. They want a more green, you know, sustainability might be their biggest area that they want to focus on.
Yep.
So yeah, I like how you're tying these together and the fact that they're being asset agnostic. And I've talked to a lot of projects this way, and I think you're building the tech, you're figuring out how the tech, you're making the tech work. You're meeting projects where they are in their Web2 world, and you're providing that bridge. You know, you're providing that, you know, API connection, so to speak.
I think this is very important. I think, you know, the first wave of RWA is obviously being led by all the financial assets, right? You know, which is pretty natural because the dollar value is a lot higher, the transactions are a lot more. But collectively speaking, actual real world asset obviously is a much bigger market. But, you know, it's great that, you know, people like BlackRock, companies like BlackRock is actually leading the charge and putting this whole concept of RWA into markets, right? But then, like, you know, I really strongly believe in order to sort of, in order for Web3 to become like mainstream, you know, actual real asset, like the stuff that we're working on, has to eventually participate. Because a lot of times right now, it's still, you know, the complaint is still a zero-sum game, right? Because basically it's all, you know, crypto money going from left pocket to the right pocket, right? In order to sort of attract new capital into the ecosystem, you really need to start, you know, having business use case that applies to the rest of, you know, the rest of the, you know, the industry, like all the other things. And we're trying to do our part in bringing on like interesting projects with interesting, you know.
It's all story. It's all about the storyline. You know, I mean, just like this conversation we have on the podcast, I mean, it's really about having these stories, what, you know, and, presenting that, you know, getting the word out. And a lot of it, it's way more interesting if there's a great backstory and a great application. Yeah. And to your point, I think the unlock, you know, there's a lot of it. We're in the education phase, we're early, and projects are figuring it out, you know, retail, so to speak, you know, I use that term with air quotes, but, you know, they're learning and they're getting educated. But I think where the unlock still lies, I mean, we see stable coins are the original RWA token. More and more people realize that stable coins are a significantly better place to put their money. You know, obviously there's people that are already putting most of their money into treasury bills and things, as you mentioned, you know, just very stable returns, getting that 5% from something that's guaranteed. But if you're looking at just kind of beating inflation, so to speak, settling in stables, getting a certain percentage of the population into stables, I think is the, you know, there's multiple things that are going to unlock this, but I think that's one of the biggest unlocks, because it becomes less of a zero sum game, because you don't feel like you're trading from the left to right pocket, and you don't feel like it's speculative crypto, because you're in stables. You might be, you know, in the US, it's arguable right now, like the dollar might be worth, you know, 89 cents, not a dollar. So, you know, if you're settling in stables or getting paid in stables to begin with, you know, you're theoretically starting off in a much better spot. I think that's where you can apply that, you know, to projects like Dual Mint, where you want to take those stables and you want them working for you and getting a yield.
Exactly. Like instead of doing like, you know, yield farming and, you know, with impermanent loss and all that stuff, you know, with, you know, DeFi 1.0 brought a lot of interesting ideas, but I think, you know, with real world asset backed type projects, and with an actual real world provenance associated with it, which, you know, the very important thing, you have a lot, I believe, you know, there's a higher level of trust in these type of projects than, you know, just something that is kind of like completely.
It is. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's very important to emphasize your focus on the dual provenance, you know, and I think that's, because, you know, having a token to say that this is wine, as you know, we've seen it not work plenty of times before, you know, so if you don't have that dual provenance and you don't have the technology figured out and that, you know, that tie to the real world asset, which requires work, which is why you guys have been, you know, busy doing that and figuring it out. And I do like that you've because as you mentioned, you're asset agnostic, but I think you've found a little bit of your stride in this, in these unique projects that also align with typically a very passionate audience, you know, whether that be sustainable, whether that be the wine side of things. I mean, very specific things where there's a cult-like following that sustainability is massive. You know, wine following is also massive. So there's really quite a few things that, as you mentioned, have just immediate attraction to the real world already, which I think gets lost sometimes because some people just get too excited about the technology and the opportunity and the revolution of the new financial markets. And they forget just psychology 101 that, you know, like people are going to be attracted to things that they actually already do and already love.
Yeah. I mean, I was looking at some posts, you know, in Twitter, and this guy's listed like, you know, the most boring business is what brings you the most, the cash flow. And some of these things like, you know, washing machines, some of these, you know, like really boring things, right? Basically, it's cash business, you know, you just get the cash flow in. This is kind of like, you know, what we're kind of trying to do, but with a ESG related angle or what have you, finding these type of, you know, boring assets that bring you like yield, right? Like, so, and make it available, like, you know, across different jurisdictions.
You need to package that because I totally agree with that. I follow a lot of those same things. I'm a huge fan of, I mean, it's just in my DNA. Like I typically take very complex things, and that's why I like having these podcasts and like kind of try to distill them down as a simple form. I think I have a pretty good knack for that.
Yeah.
And generally speaking, like that's why I've been in sales and different things, because it's easy to, you know, when you're talking to people, you don't want to be talking at, you know, at a technical level or at a level where it doesn't make sense. So I think that's where, even with this, I mean, boring businesses and revolutionizing that with tech is, it's such a great model. It really is.
Yep.
Yeah. So kudos. Totally. I like that. I've always loved, you know, even like going back to what you were talking about, just reframing the idea of NFT technology is amazing and it keeps advancing, but
yes,
framing.
That's a pet peeve of mine, right? Like,
yeah,
it's such a bad connotation. Like I decided, so I send you the blog that I blog post that I write. So I'm deciding basically we're just going to drop the whole NFT thing. First of all, it's not really any NFT anymore, right? Because NFT really is designed for digital only, assets only, right?
Right.
So when you start look at marrying it to like real world assets, like the stuff that we're talking about, like, you know, like the real world provenance, like, you know, and that kind of fitting solution, like, you know, logistics, whatever, like, you know, you're building into this whole protocol. It's no longer NFT. So we have decided to call it real world asset token, right? I mean, it's so like obvious. I don't know why, you know, not more people are, you know, using this for real world asset, right? Just, you know, just get rid of the whole NFT stigma and, you know, just move on.
I brought this up on a Twitter space. I retweeted and I think I shared it on LinkedIn too about the same thing. And I'm screaming it from the mountaintops as well, because I think it's a brilliant positioning. And as you mentioned, it is really just the evolution of technology. I mean, you're not just rebranding something because it's cute. You're rebranding it because it obviously makes sense and the technology has moved. And you don't want to be stuck with this stigma. And again, this is early. So these are the kind of things. I mean, 4 years ago, they were calling RWAs security tokens, as you know, and that's moved to RWA. It seems like that's going to stick. I mean, we never know. But I think overall, I mean, I certainly commend you and the team for, you know, continually being innovative, being out there. You know, you're at conferences, you're in the trenches, you're constantly pivoting and finding what's working, and you know you're finding unique brands, as you described some of them. I mean, I know you have a bit more coming up, and you know I'm excited to kind of continue sharing that and continue talking with you about it. But Dualmint is, you know, definitely moving in the right direction for Web3. I think, and it's aligning incentives. I mean, and I love how you guys are doing that with aligning the incentives, aligning yield. You know, it's a perfect marriage. And anything else, you know, you want to chat about as we're wrapping up? I know we're riffing here on different topics, but I think, you know, we covered quite a bit and really exciting.
No, I think that's a good start. I would love to come back on a show, you know, maybe later and discuss more in detail on some of these projects when I can share more, you know, and or just.
Yeah, we definitely need to report back because, your deal flow and your new brands are coming through regularly, and as we continue to do that. I know that there's a popular segment because, again, this really ties into what, you know, whether it's boring businesses or it's where there's a cult-like following, these are the kind of brands that people want to hear about and they want to get involved with. I mean, this is a way that drives, you know, growth for them and investing, and also for Dual Mint. So it's been a great conversation, yeah. Bill. I appreciate it. And yeah, we'll definitely have you back. And I will put everything in the show notes, but dualmint.com is a website. And Bill, CTO and co-founder, amazing team. Love what you're doing. And we'll talk again soon.
Hey, thanks, Travis, for having us.
And that's a wrap for this episode of the Real World Assets Show. Thanks for joining us on our journey to transform the future of finance, one asset and token at a time. For more insights, visit us on the web at rwa.builders. I'm Travis John, and I'll see you on the next episode.